Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, well, today we have with us Charles Van Vick. He is with Frontline Ministries, works with Dr. Peter Hammond, and has a fascinating story to tell us about what's happening today in Africa. And so I've asked him to be with us for this hour as we begin exploring perhaps what's going on in the Belgian Congo. Today it's known as Zaire, or I think the Democratic Republic of the Congo. But here, over 3 million people have been killed over the last decade or so, and yet we don't hear about that on television. Yes, we hear everything about what happened in New Orleans. Less than 1,000 people have died. And not that those 1,000 people aren't important, but notice how the media certainly molds our minds, shapes our tastes, and of course is able to control our reality. So we never talk about what's going on there in the Congo, where you have a Marxist dictator imposing his rule with the help of other Marxist countries sending in their troops from Angola and Southwest Africa and from certainly from the Zimbabwe, it used to be called Rhodesia. All of those countries are directly or indirectly supported by the American government today. And so we're supporting the communists, we're installing the communist dictatorship in Zaire. There are certainly anti-communist troops there from Rwanda, Burundi, and certainly Uganda fighting. But I'm going to let Charles tell you more about that. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It's always great having a chat to you and your listeners.
Well, why don't you give us a little of the background of what's going on in Zaire, because I know this is one of the places you've been working.
That's right, yes. The Democratic Republic of the Congo is the new name. It changes its name every now and again. You know what Africa's like. You've worked there. And they now are called the DRC, but the Congo has, in 45 years of independence from Belgium, has never ever been a democracy. In fact, I've got a friend there that's a pastor. He's a missionary, been sent out to set up a church in South Africa because of all the refugees that have left the Congo and moved to South Africa. He's 35 years old. He's never voted in his life before. So it's just incredible. The country is afflicted by a corrupt dictator, as you've mentioned. And there's been a series of devastating civil wars that have been going on in the country, and you know, one doesn't even know who's doing what where, because there's so many different factions of rebel groups, mainly in the eastern side of the country right now, although they've been all over a few years ago. And the place is just really degraded. The infrastructure's ruined, most of the roads are impassable, the jungle has overgrown much of the railway set systems. Warfare has devastated the country, and as you've mentioned, there's up to 3 million dead already in the Congo. Corruption is rife. Quite honestly, Dr. Stan, if you want to pass your university degree, all you need to do is pay money under the table to the lecturer. If you want to win your court case, you just pay money to the judge. And you know, a country like this just can't carry on this way. But the church is just dynamic, it's growing, the Congo is being transformed by the gospel of Christ, and just really exciting things are happening there now.
And I think this is what people don't understand, is that Christianity thrives under adversity, as it has in many places in Africa.
Right.
Here in America, we have a very complacent church. Oh, now we're looking for an experiential church. We're looking, we want to change the gospel, we want to be more acceptable, we want to bring peace to the world, but there in the Congo, where people are really under persecution, while they're drawing closer to the Lord, with the help, of course, of Frontline Ministry, which we think is doing a great job.
Thank
in
you.
Africa. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. Well, right now with us is Charles Van Veek, and Charles is with the Frontline Ministry, Peter Hammond's group. He's over here with us just for a day or two more. He'll be going back to Africa. He works primarily in Zambia and in Zaire, they now call the Democratic Republic of the Congo, a war-torn nation where over 10 million people have died, a totally corrupt society. And what's really so amazing is that this is a wealthy area. I mean, it's got tremendous diamond mines and all sorts of natural resources. I mean, 40 years ago, this was really a beautiful country with roads and developing infrastructure and education, and the people there had an opportunity and their lives were improving, and now, 40 years later, it's totally chaotic. Do you want to pick up the story there?
Yes, Dr. Stan, the country was doing extremely well in the early 60s. As you mentioned, the infrastructure was one of the best infrastructures in the whole of Africa at that time. It was just phenomenal. And, you know, people look at South Africa even and say, well, you know, the whole world's eyes are in South Africa and we've got such a great infrastructure, things can't go wrong there. But we've totally degraded the country in just the last 10 or 11 years. But back to the Congo, these people are just doing a wonderful job. The Frontline Fellowship was invited to come and speak at a meeting of 450 Christian leaders at an organization called Redetco, and they are just doing a phenomenal job. This pseudonym stands for the Gathering of the Children of God for the Transformation of the Congo. And we had a French translation done, mainly French-speaking people there, and the area I work in is mainly Swahili too. And we had Biblical Principles for Africa, a book written by our founder, Dr. Peter Hammond. We had that translated into French. We took 900 copies in for this conference, but the delegates were just overwhelmed. They were so excited about having a book that teaches biblical principles in the socio-political arena for Africa, and they are just so excited about being salt and light. As one pastor said to me, he said, enough is enough, and they are now wanting to make a difference.
Hold that thought. We're going to bring our other stations back, right back on board, just about right now. Well, our guest is Charles Van Veek, and he's talking about, of course, how God is acting in Zaire, this tragic war-torn country, a revolution, violence, rape, pillage, disease, outbreaks of Ebola. You know, the infrastructure of the country is just totally collapsing. The roads, which were once were great highways, they're overgrown, they're potholes. In many areas, they're totally impassable. And, of course, this did not happen overnight. It happened over a period of 40 years of war and revolution. And this is what happens to countries, you know, when God's influence isn't there. But God's influence is coming back into the Congo, and that's really what's so exciting, as apparently God's hand is moving mightily, and more people are turning to the Lord. Isn't that true?
That is just 100% correct. It is so encouraging to see what God is doing in the Congo. They invited Frontline Fellowship in about 6 years ago to train what they call their peace officers. Now, it's this really strange name, but those are actually the evangelists that go work in the war zones. So this church called the Come and See Church that we work with has over 700 congregations around the country. Their bishop or leader is a Bishop Lamba Lamba, and they were so excited. They invited us to speak at this Redetco meeting, and we spoke on issues like biblical principles for government, crime and punishment, how to make a difference in politics. And so they just have never been involved in the socio-political arena before, because they haven't been a democracy, they haven't been able to vote. They're not a republic, as in their name, they're not democratic, as in their name. And so they are wanting to dedicate the Congo to Christ, or they have these Christians. But just to give you an idea of some of the suffering of these people, in 1998 and also in the year 2002, which wasn't that long ago, two evangelists of this church, the Come and See Church, were cut up in pieces by rebel soldiers. And in 2001, Reverend Manong Bugomba was buried alive, and he was married with three children. And what had happened was that rebels told his church that their prayers were influencing the war in a bad way for them, and if they carry on praying, their pastor would be buried alive. And he was. I mean, could you imagine us Christians in South Africa or in England or America or ever being criticized or being accused of our prayers having such a radical influence in the socio-political arena? Another family in 1999, Pastor Ponyo and his wife, their little village was attacked. And these are godly people. This is a man that wears a suit and preaches in churches every Sunday. The area was attacked by terrorists. The wife and the husband ran in separate directions with their children. Their little four-year-old son was lost due to the separation from his parents, and he died from this. But the family didn't see each other again, the husband and wife, for 28 months. And his wife ended up in Tanzania, going south into Zambia, back into the Congo, from the south again, and eventually after 28 months they found each other again. So you've had this incredible suffering amongst the Christians.
And I think what people here in America must understand is that this is a communist regime. They're told that communism is dead, but then we're told a lot of things that isn't true. Yes. I mean, the communist regime is being kept in power by Angola, and the Angolese communist government is being kept in power by Chevron and with the full support of the United States government. The communist government in Zaire is being kept in power by troops from Southwest Africa. They do have troops there, don't they?
And Zimbabwe.
And Zimbabwe, right. And both of those countries, we are supporting. They would not be in power if your State Department hadn't brought them in, and men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And the fact you don't know this doesn't really make it any different. Your tax money, your State Department is backing the communists who are keeping this horror going on in the Congo. And you have an obligation to find out if it's really true. Where can people really find out about Zaire? Is there anything on your website there?
There is a little bit of information on there, but we've only started working there for the first time in March this year. And so it's very new to us. It's a new mission field. The people are French-speaking, so everything's done through translation. So we are slowly starting to get organized in working with these people. They're in Central Africa. They're far from our base in South Africa. And so there is some information on our website about it, and that is at frontline.org.za. If our listeners would like to visit us there, frontline.org.za, they'll find some information on that. And we certainly will build up information now as we work with them more and more, and to get out the details of what's going on in the country. But it's exactly what you said, Dr. Sand. It's just a thuggery that goes on in the governments. They are getting support and finance coming from the West, which is keeping these dictators in power, and they don't need to rush, they don't need to get out of power, and the West just keeps funding them. One can just not understand, first of all, where all this money is coming from, and then why it keeps coming to prop up these wicked governments. And all we can consider is the fact that these places are so minerally enriched that it's probably far cheaper just to buy a head of state and be able to go in there and get the work with the, do the mining and that without having all kinds of levels of government to deal with to do your mining. And that's why the rebels are also so vicious in the Congo. They're trying to control diamond areas. They're trying to control areas where there's lots of minerals for them to get to carry on with the war. So there's a real mess going on in Africa. But we're just really excited to see what God's doing in the nations right now.
And, of course, really what's so tragic is that the major media, the controlled media, as I refer to them, here in the United States, are not pointing out what's really going on in this tragic country, where over 3 million people have died. And when was the last time that Brian Williams or any of the other commentators commented on that? They talk about Darfur, where there has been certainly some death and suffering there, but they totally ignore Zaire. I wonder why that is. Now, what about the minerals there? Are there a lot of Western countries and Western corporations that are there exploiting the minerals and wealth of the country?
Well, Dr. Stan, I spoke to a missionary pastor who was working in the area from Zambia, and he told me that he went to one of the hotels there, And he said there were people involved in the mines and the things that are going on there from every rich Western nation. That's what he told me. He said there were people from all over the Western world were at this hotel, and they were all wheeling and dealing and involved with mining and diamonds and cobalt and all the other minerals that they have there. So things seem to be going on there, and I think, you know, the reporters have recorded that Mobutu Sese Seko, who just ran the country down into the dumps, also propped up by Western governments, he just ransacked the country. He would take all the money out of the government-owned companies. He would just tax people to death, the little bit of whatever they could do to get from the people there. And this guy was a total thug. His family had to flee the Congo in disgrace, and then President Kabila took over, Laurent Kabila, and he was no better than that than the previous Mobutu Sese Seko. So you got one dictator taking over from another, and they're just perpetuating this trouble and nonsense all the time. And what they were doing is, the big companies that were coming into mine would just pay money to the president, and they'd get their concessions, and they can get on with their work. People tell me on the ground that the Zimbabwean dictator Robert Mugabe owns mines up there. They fly diamonds straight off from the Congo straight through to Zimbabwe for him. And so they're just ransacking Africa. And some of these dictators are some of the richest men in the world. And strangely enough, some of the public debt or the government debt of their countries is equal to their wealth. and that's the way, you know, things are going on there.
What a terrible tragedy. Of course, I remember when Mobutu was in power and our government was backing Mobutu. He was a ruthless thug, but we back ruthless thugs all throughout the world. And then once in a while, we would even go to war with one of them, but usually we've kept him in power, and then we suddenly turn on him. I wish there was just a little consistency, a little morality in American foreign policy. Well, you know, what about the United Nations? My understanding is the United Nations has forces there. Are they bringing peace and stability to the Congo?
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, in the early 60s, the Katanga province in the south of the Congo seceded from the rest of the Congo. They had a thriving business community. They were doing exceptionally well. They had really people from all over the world that were working there. The mines were doing well. They had factories that were running. They were producing garments. Materials are just absolutely phenomenal, and they seceded from the rest of the Congo that was full of trouble and strife. And then the United Nations was sent in there and basically just beat them up, shot innocent people, shot at their military, and forced them back into the rest of the Congo. They even had their own president. They were a totally sovereign state.
I remember Moshe Shambi very well.
That's
he was
right.
a great leader. But of course, we did everything we could to undermine a stable country and of course, push them back into the chaos of the rest of the country. But what about the United Nations forces that are now? We know that back 40 years ago, the United Nations forces were raping and pillaging and murdering, thousands and thousands of people. There was a wonderful book that came out called 46 Angry Men. I can remember reading it 40 years ago. Needless to say, that book is not used as standard textbook in our schools today. But what are the United Nations doing in the Congo today? We have the United Nations to bring about world peace. What are their troops doing there?
Well, that's exactly what's going on there now. Apparently, they are wanting to bring peace into the country, and they're now preparing for elections by
points have increased by as much as 70%. So how do you know how much your portfolio has gained or lost? With a quick call to the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources. 1-800-685-4042. Colonial Resources will give you current market quotes on your gold or silver bullion and collector coins. If you're ready to sell, Colonial pays higher prices for your coins than almost anyone in the industry. And if you doubt that, call the company that sold them to you and ask what they'd buy them for, and then call us. To find out where you stand in the rapidly changing precious metals market, call Colonial Resources today, toll free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Charles is back on the line. Charlotte Van Beek from Frontline Ministries in South Africa. Charlotte, are you there? Let's see now. Are you there?
Yes, that's perfect. I'm hearing you perfectly.
All right, fine. That sounds really ever so much better. Well, we were simply talking about what's going on in Zaire, and I was just asking, you know, is the United Nations then bringing stability to the country, you know, as we would hope, or what really is happening? What part are they playing? You know, because you have these armies coming in from all the adjacent countries, from Burundi, Rwanda, Uganda, from Angola, from Southwest Africa, from Zimbabwe.
Yes, that's right. The United Nations are supposed to be bringing the country to end the war now. They're supposed to be working at the moment, and it's a really tough job for them, I must admit, because there's just no control over the various rebel groups that are mainly in the east of the country right now. But, you know, even when the United Nations brings so-called peace at the end of the day, one just can't trust these people that just cause havoc in so many different countries in Africa. And in the Katanga province, the people remember what happened 45 years ago with the United Nations coming in. So they don't particularly trust these people, as far as I can gather. And we know that the United Nations, when they came into South Africa during our so-called first democratic elections, they were propping up the Marxist African National Congress. Ballot boxes were arriving from places that nobody knew about or didn't exist. There were just the funniest things going on. We've known of United Nations vehicles carrying in firearms into areas for political parties and that in Africa. And there's just they cause more trouble than they do good often. And then the finances that come from Western governments just pop up dictators, and one just cannot fathom why they keep giving these people money, because they cause more trouble for their citizens than there ever was during colonialism. The people in Africa are suffering far more under their own rule, under their own dictators, than they ever suffered under colonialism. And Zimbabwe is just another example of this, where Robert Mugabe is a total tyrant who's just ripped the country to pieces, confiscating farms from the farmers. He so-called stabilized the price of bread. He made it a permanent price, and the price is less than what it costs to produce it. So nobody's producing bread, so the people are starving to death.
In other words, he has a fixed price, and it's really very cheap. There just isn't any of it.
Yes, that's right. It's a really good price, very cheap. You just can't buy it anywhere. And, you know, this is just so typical of these bureaucrats in Africa. They just haven't got a clue of what economics is about. And if you come to South Africa or to another African country, oh, they don't want the people in the West to come work in our country because you're going to steal our jobs. Well, what nonsense. The fact that you can create more jobs by being in our country, the fact that you bring in foreign currency, is just beyond the communist and the socialist mindset. And so, you know, they see everything in terms of limited resources, and they can't understand that wealth can be produced. through hard work, through labor, through the blessing of God. It just doesn't work out in their mindset.
Well, now what's happened since we brought freedom to South Africa, as it were? What has happened to the stability of the country? What's happened to the rights of the people there, both black and white? What's happened to employment for the black? Is the black man better off today now that we've done away with apartheid?
Well, you know, Dr. Tan, that's the interesting thing. In fact, research was done, and I think it was actually sponsored by a university here in America. Not that they physically did it, but I think they sponsored the research. And overwhelmingly, over all race groups in the country, everybody was saying that the education system is worse, the housing system is worse, the police force is worse off, the hospitals are worse off, everything's worse off than during apartheid. And even our liberal left-wing newspapers that helped the African National Congress communists come to power, they're even complaining now and saying how things were better during apartheid.
And, of course, the only people who will tell you that things are better now than they were before is the New York Times, the Washington Post, which are, of course, the American counterpart of the Marxist newspapers in South Africa. So we've got a real problem because you're not getting the truth. I mean, I lived in South Africa, and they were working to do away with our apartheid. When I was there, they'd integrated the sports team, they'd integrated the sports stadiums, they were integrating the theaters, they were beginning to integrate the neighborhoods, and it was only a matter of time before they would have had a colorblind society as they had in Rhodesia. But you see, that isn't what our State Department wanted. Mm-hmm. They wanted to bring, chaos to Rhodesia. They have. They want to bring chaos to Southwest Africa. And eventually, perhaps even here.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is, or has been, secret societies. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121. 0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Charles Van Vaak. And do you live in South Africa? Is that the center of your operation, Charles?
Dr. Stan, I live in Cape Town, South Africa. That's where the Frontline Fellowship Mission headquarters is, and we work from there up north into Central and North Africa.
Well, now, what's happened as far as the employment for the black? When I was there, there was almost 100% employment. What's the unemployment rate now? Do we have any idea?
Well, the government's talking about 35%, 3-5. But, you know, we're probably at over 50% if one sees what's actually happening on the ground. You know, the poor people that I've met, the colored people on the ground in Cape Town, are saying that they had work during apartheid, and now, you know, now there's no work for them. Now, that still doesn't justify apartheid, but as you're saying, the government was moving away from that. They were integrating everything already, and then all of a sudden there was this force that, you know, things had to be changed immediately, and this was just setting the way for the African National Congress communists to come into power, and they've immediately grabbed the educational institutions. They've entrenched themselves in there. The hospitals are just going down the drain. We're talking about rats biting little children in their cots in the hospitals, eating flesh. The businesses are being hit by what we call black economic empowerment, where businesses are forced to take on people of different races and different ratios of them in their businesses, which obviously doesn't help the business in any way when they're forced to take people on that are either useless or are inexperienced. The place is a mess. The government has now passed a law that they can nationalize or take away property from people if it suits them for this black economic empowerment and to redistribute the wealth in our nation, as they call it. And all this is doing is devastating the farms. And so productive farms are now unproductive. Those that were turning over millions of dollars worth of food every year are now just standing bare and empty and aren't being looked after anymore. And so we have this absolute chaos in our country. In fact, even in Mozambique, when they became independent, so many people left the country. There were 20 medical doctors left in the whole country. So we see when the Marxists come to power, they just absolutely wreck everything. They run around with their AK-47s in Mozambique, and they threaten the people, and why must people hang around there? I know one Christian family, they Portuguese family, this lady I know grew up in Mozambique, and they had what we call a small holding, a small farm. Her parents worked very hard, and they were chased out of the country by the communists. She then went to Zimbabwe. They settled in Zimbabwe, where they were foreigners again, and they had to leave there because of the communist takeover there. Then they came to South Africa. The communists took over there, and she just said now she's sick and tired of Africa. She's moved to Europe, and she never wants to come back again. Just generations of communist takeover, and they just wreck everything they touch.
But of course, what the hardest thing is for the average American to recognize or accept is that our State Department has been doing this. And just as today we're doing everything we can to build up communist China, just as today we're doing everything we can to stabilize and build up the economy and the military potential of communist Russia, so we brought communist dictators to power all throughout Africa, under the guise of democracy, of course, but they rigged the elections, well, sort of like they did in Ohio, and the people that they're supposed to win always win. Now, you know, the tragedy is when I practiced medicine in South Africa, they had extremely high medical standards for both black and white, and I was the chief of surgery in a black hospital. We gave, you know, first-class Western care to the patients there. Is the whole medical system beginning to implode? Are a lot of South African doctors just picking up and leaving?
Yes, Dr. Stanley. There are doctors leaving for England, for America, for New Zealand, for Australia, for Canada. Why must they hang around there? You know, there's no reason for them to be there. The government has interfered with the doctors so much that if you are in private medical practice now, and you want to sell a portion of your practice, or somebody wants to buy into your practice, they need to get permission from the government to do this. Can you believe it? They're interfering with a private enterprise. And my brother-in-law is a medical doctor, and basically his shares in his practice are worth nothing anymore. He's lost hundreds of thousands of rands, or hundreds of thousands of dollars, possibly, because of this new law that passed just overnight. Your shares are worth nothing, because how can your shares be worth something if somebody has to get permission from the government to be able to come in and work with you in your practice?
Well, now, what's happened to the industry? Because when I was there, they had a very vibrant industry. They were manufacturing cars. You were producing your own gasoline out of oil. You know, the economy really was certainly a magnet for people all over Africa. Blacks were doing everything they could to get into the country to improve their living standards. What's happening now today as far as the economy there is concerned?
Well, Dr. Sam, I've heard varying statistics, but literally we've lost millions of jobs since the African National Congress came to power 11 years ago. Millions of jobs.
And, of course, when the African National Congress came to power and brought in Nelson Mandela, who was there to greet him and congratulate him but Fidel Castro, Gaddafi of Libya, the people from Russia and from all the Eastern European communist countries, they all understood what the American people were never to be allowed to understand, is that one of theirs had been brought to power, but not by the communists, but by the people in the American State Department, which really doesn't make sense, but of course there has to be a reason for it. Well, let's get off into what's happening in Zambia, because here is a country that, under Kenneth Kaunda, who is a hardcore communist, was a complete and total disaster, but Zambia has really turned around, hasn't it?
Yes, Dr. Sand, Zambia has just been absolutely phenomenal. I went in there for the first time in around about 1990-91, and the place was devastated. When I speak to the Christians there, I say to them, when I came here in 1990-91, when I drove my car down the road, if I went into a pothole, you couldn't see the roof. I mean, it was that bad. The place was devastated. And I remember trying to find, I couldn't even find a takeaways in the capital city. I struggled to find a place to buy food. And when I eventually got the food, it was something that I'd even be scared to give my dog in South Africa. It was so bad. And just incredible how God has blessed the nation. Now, Frederick Chaluba came to power, a Christian man, after Kenneth Kaunda. And God really blessed the nation, and they proclaimed Zambia a constitutionally a Christian nation. And God has blessed them mightily. The roads are good. There are hotels. There are restaurants everywhere. Coffee shops. You can buy anything you want. Hardware stores. Just incredible. Private hospitals. Private schools. Really exciting. And they changed the country around. They had tax-free zones. And they gave people, didn't charge them taxes to bring their tractors and their working machinery into the country. And they've done a phenomenal job. So exciting. And just yet now, there's now a constitutional crisis on because the bad guys just don't give up. They want to change Zambia back to a secular humanist state. I mean, after years and years of devastation, Kenneth Kaunda nationalized the mines, the copper mines. He nationalized virtually everything, right down to the laundrette where you had your clothing washed. I mean, that's how bad it was. And now people, they forget so quickly. And now there's a constitutional crisis on where they're wanting to change from a Christian nation into a secular humanist state. And we must just pray that this doesn't happen, that the Christians stand strong.
Well, let's hope that they don't bring in the Americans to supervise the election, or they will do exactly to them what we did to South Africa. That was the greatest rigged election of all time when of course, we supervised and brought Mandela to power. We even announced it won before they had the votes counted. So, you know, that's what's called true democracy, African democracy.
Yes.
Now, what about Mozambique? Because that's another example of how the Lord has worked really to transform a country. Why don't you tell the story of the tragedy of Mozambique that gained its freedom supposedly in the 70s and went right into total chaos?
Yes, well, Dr. Peter Hammond, our director and founder, has done a lot of work there. In fact, he wrote a Mozambique report, and which has now been put into a book form called In the Killing Fields of Mozambique, which people can also find on frontline.org.za. And just incredible, the documented atrocities that happened in Mozambique. I mean, Samora Machel imposed a harsh Marxist dictatorship of the proletariat upon Mozambique. The educational institutions, the hospitals, businesses, industries, agriculture, everything was nationalized. Property was confiscated from people. And as I mentioned already, there were only 20 medical doctors left in the country. The tourism industry went down the drain, very much like what's happening in Zimbabwe right now. And there was then a military agreement signed between Mozambique and the USSR at the time. The People's Republic of Mozambique signed this with them, with Hungary, Bulgaria, East Germany, Vietnam, with Cuba. Just incredible contacts they had. They lost so much money through tourism at the time. And there was a major, major move of anti-Christian persecution in the country. There were people, Portuguese delivered Mozambique into the blood-soaked hands of their president, the Samora Machel, and just incredible how he attacked the Christians. He called the priests parrots and monkeys. He lashed out at the church, accusing them of being a remnant of colonialism, a tool of fascism. I mean, he just went absolutely crazy. He confiscated, nationalized the churches. He padlocked them. They were chained up. Many, Dr. San, were even burnt down by these Marxists. Missionaries were expelled from the country. In fact, the late Dr. Ed Cain, who was a great custodian of the Christian faith in South Africa, wrote a lot about the communist interference around the world. And one of the greatest minds on liberation theology was also a missionary in Mozambique at that time. And he also left that. And at least 300,000 people were incarcerated and put into re-education camps. There were 75,000 people were executed publicly. They were known as counter-revolutionaries. Over 8,000 church buildings were confiscated or destroyed in the Congo. And one can go on. You know, they just devastated everything. But Frontline Fellowship was working in there. Dr. Peter Hammond, our director, he did great work. In effect, through his Mozambique report, many countries around the world in the West, including America and England, were really interested in the Mozambique report, and that was even mentioned in the House of Commons and taken note of in England. And praise the Lord that the book could get around to tell people what was going on. But there's been so much a success. Operation World declared the country the least evangelized country in the Southern Hemisphere. There was less than one Bible for every 1,000 people. And at independence in 1975, the evangelicals were only 3.7% of the population. And today, over 6 million Mozambicans are members of the Protestant evangelical or independent churches.
Now, that's about, 30% of the population?
Well, yes, there's only 20 million people in the country, so it's 6 out of 20 million. It is just absolutely phenomenal. So that's 30% of the population. Is just incredible what is going on there. And the last 10 years, the number of evangelicals in Mozambique has literally doubled. So the Lord's doing a great work there. The Lord's doing wonderful work in Zambia, in Malawi, in the Congo, in Mozambique, and we're just excited to see what's going on. And when we see this, we just say, well, this definitely isn't man doing this. Man has just wrecked everything, and this is definitely a sovereign move of God amongst these people, and we're just so excited to be a part of it.
And, of course, really, the prosperity is beginning to turn to return to Mozambique. I mean, where the people were starving, now the farms are producing products, and the tourist industry is coming back, and they're beginning then to replenish their game, the parks, things of that sort.
Yes.
And so, really, it's amazing what happens when God returns to a country, when people honor God. Unfortunately, when people turn against God, why, you see what happens, in other countries.
That's right. Well, you know, even Dr. Sandy, Zambia is now exporting maize. I mean, it's just so exciting to see a country that has been devastated by a communist dictator, and things are just totally turned around, where people are exporting maize. An orphanage that I work with there, run by Dr. John Jerry, called the Samaritan Community Orphanage. He takes his little children into the fields. They plant their own maize, and they get enough food to last them for 6 or 7 months, so that the orphanage doesn't have to buy food. And many people in the West will probably look at this and say, "Oh, child labor! You know, this is child labor." These kids are learning how to be productive citizens. They are going to grow up to be godly children who love the Lord and who were able to plow and be able to plant food for their families in the future. And it's just so exciting to see the Christians involved in the socio-political arena and getting in there. They're going into politics, and in fact the Zambian president was just baptized a few months ago. A Christian president has taken over in Malawi, and he moved away from his Islamic people in his political party and started a new party. And we're just seeing very exciting things happening in Southern Africa and Central Africa.
It really is exciting. What about the AIDS epidemic in Africa, in South Africa, in Rhodesia, in Zambia? This is a devastating story, though, isn't it?
Sure, this is really devastating, Dr. Stan. We're talking about over 30 million people that have already died in Africa.
How many do you think?
30 million.
About 30 million, right?
And I think that statistic was about 2 years ago.
Right. Of course, these are not the statistics we get here, but they lie to us consistently here in the United States.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, the place is just devastated. I've got a missionary friend up in northern Zambia who says to me, if he had to go to all the funerals he was invited to, he'd get no work done at all. People are dying like flies. And now they are starting to get some of the drugs that are helping them to stay strong. But what's happening is the men that are HIV positive and that got AIDS, their bodies were withering away, they were about to die, now they've got these drugs to prop them up, but they're still carrying on in their wickedness. So they are now sleeping around and they are infecting more and more women. So the drug might keep one man alive, but he's going to infect another 50 women with the virus. So, you know, quite frankly, if that man had rather died, it would have been far better for the rest of the population. So it's really a tough call in certain areas where we have this kind of wickedness, where people are not staying chaste and staying dedicated to their life partner. And you'll always find that in areas where people are living ungodly. But Uganda is a nation that's turned their rate of AIDS around altogether. They have a negative growth rate of AIDS, and as people are getting older into various age groups, they're finding that up to their AIDS rate is 30% less, and they've just done a phenomenal job.
That's because they haven't listened to the advice of the World Health Organization.
Well,
and America. Hey, we're just about out of time. I want you to get your website out one more time, because I want our listeners to get in touch with you and support your ministry.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Stan. It is frontline.org.za, frontline.org.za. And if people would like an information package, they can phone our sister mission, In Touch Mission International, at 888-918-4100.
One more time.
888-918-4100, or they could contact us or through frontline.org.ca, and we'd love to hear from them. And thank you once again for a great opportunity, and please keep up the good work that you're doing, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy Lee McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, What Really Happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, What Really Happened.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbinpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbinpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we asked the question, why is it that the American State Department has consistently supported communist dictators throughout Africa? And, of course, if you go back in history, you'll find that the United States government, American corporations, the Federal Reserve Bank, and our bankers backed Lenin back in 1919. Now, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it, but we have a great video. It's called The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, and we carry the book by that same title by Professor Sutton. Professor Sutton was at Hoover Institute, and he pointed out how even during the Vietnam War, we were indirectly financing North Vietnamese to keep the war going. Just as today, over in Iraq, I mean, who's paying for the insurgency over there? Well, they're getting some of their funding from Saudi Arabia and our good friends in Pakistan. And, of course, we are subsidizing the Pakistanis. There are terrorist training camps in Pakistan to this very day, recently reported within the last few weeks. And, of course, we're giving them billions of dollars to keep the government in power, but they say, oh, we can't do anything about the terrorists. Why, then, we'd lose power. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to see the video. The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. You need to read the book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. You need to analyze what is happening in China today. As we are doing everything we can, the World Bank, the Agency for International Development, the International Monetary Fund, the Asian Development Bank, all funded by your tax money, building up communist China. Doesn't make sense unless you understand there is an occult hierarchy that rules the world and they have an agenda. They just don't want you to know what that agenda is. So, you know, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, the book, the video, both available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my talk on Iraq, The Untold Story, which is not simply about Iraq, it's about all of the wars of the last century and how they were all contrived. And if you would, you can get the book, you can get the syllabus, you can get the two of them together. We recommend that. If you'd like to get my latest newsletter, a free copy of it, it's up on the internet. It is a talk that was given by Major General Smedley Butler, the most highly decorated Marine general of all time, with 2 Congressional Medals of Honor. His talk, War is a Racket. It's my latest newsletter. You can find it on my website, and we'll send you free of charge a copy of this talk that was given back in 1935. And then you need to get our Iraq, The Untold Story, and understand why we went to war in Iraq. You haven't been told the truth about this at all. And, of course, it's going to lead, in my opinion, to World War III. I believe that is exactly what they're intending. But they don't want you to know because there are going to be tremendous backlash to that. And, of course, actions have consequences. And evil actions many times promote evil consequences. Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. You need to find out if this is true, and if it is true, then join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure. If you do not yet have a Berkey Big Berkey, a Berkey Light, you need to get one so you can have water. If there is another major crisis, and of course if you'd like to get them, why, if you'd like to get the Big Berkey, the Berkey Light, if you buy them through Radio Liberty, you get either a free video or four tapes that we've produced. And then we hope that many of you will want to come to our all-day conference on the 19th of November to be held here in the Monterey Bay area. And that'll be Saturday, the 19th of November, and we're going to be serving lunch. We have to have reservations. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders, our ministers, but pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. Listen to our programs there on the Internet 5 hours a day. And then, of course, well, until Monday when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye. And may the Lord be with you.